Well, shall we start with a word of prayer? Oh God, we thank you that we can meet together in this way in the week and be assured by your word that where two or three are gathered together, there Jesus said he would be. And we pray that we may be conscious of his presence and feel his power. Bless us in looking at your word, and as we pray, give us grace in all this, we pray, for the glory of your name. For Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Well, just a few words on what I think, for me anyway, is probably my favourite chapter in the Bible. Have you got any suggestions? If you could only have one chapter, one page, one chapter, which chapter would that be, do you think? Have you ever thought about it?
Psalm 139.
Well, Psalm 139. I mean, there's scores of chapters, I've known it, hundreds of chapters. Well, for me, it's Romans chapter 8. You can look it up, you'll know all this very well. The famous Scot, Robert Bruce, said when he was dying, cast up the 8th of Romans. And I've told my friends that if they see me in my last days and I'm not able to speak, they can cast up the 8th of Romans and read as much as they can of it. But what I've got for us this afternoon is this, what I'm going to call a glorious triplet. The first of the three is in Romans 8 and verse 1. Before we get to that, let me just give an illustration. My father-in-law, when he used to give children's talks, many, many donkeys of years ago now, one of his children's talks was to take some sticks along with him, and he would invite a child up and offer the child a stick and ask the child to snap it. And it was very simple. It was quite a simple little cane, and the child could easily snap it. And then he put three canes together, based on the text in Ecclesiastes, a threefold cord is not easily broken. And the child, of course, when the three are together, couldn't break it. Three make it virtually impossible. Well, here's the first. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. You know this off the back of your hand. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who are in Christ Jesus, those who are true believers united to him, this is what God says about us if we are in Christ. There is no condemnation. Now, I know we know this, as I say, like the back of our hands, and that's the trouble with it. We're so familiar with it. Well, I'll speak for myself. I'm so familiar with it that I don't say it breeds contempt, but you get sort of used to it. But I was brought up short, well, I hope better than that. I was done some good when I was writing a few years back a book on four antinomians. And one of the antinomians was John Eaton, a Puritan. And his book I was writing on was The Honeycomb of Free Justification. And Eaton was expressing the biblical doctrine of justification by faith. Now, I've come from a Reformed background for many years, and I have the traditional legal view of justification. It's an action in the court, and it's the judge pronouncing not guilty and all the rest of it, you know, and that's all true. But Eaton helped me to see that there's actually much more to it. There is a wonder to it. It should be a felt experience, not just a cerebral, mental. And, you know, I've just read it to you. No condemnation. Well, you can see why these men who preach this so freely and so fully would be called antinomians, because they were stressing the wonder of it. No condemnation. Now, that just doesn't refer to my sins past or even present. But this is dynamite, even to sin's future. And you can see what people with a legal turn of mind would make of that. And yet, I haven't got time this afternoon, but it seems to me more and more as I read the New Testament, the wonder of this no condemnation, the sense of liberty and the glorious liberty at that, the wonder of it, I think it should be with, well, I know it's for me, I'll speak for myself, it should be a more enjoyed, more felt, more heart experience. Am I really free of condemnation? Well, that's the first of the triplet. We haven't got time this afternoon. How about the second, verse 33 and 34? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, and so on. By the way, that's a very good rendering. Many versions, or several versions, put in the words, it is Christ there. But they're not in the Greek. All Paul said was, but I say all he said, what he said was, who is he who condemns? Christ Jesus is the answer. That's what he's saying. He doesn't even waste his time by saying it is. He can't wait to get to Christ. Anyway, the point I want to make here is, no condemnation. No accusation. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Well, the devil does. I don't know about you. Yeah. The world does too. I give them grounds, I dare say, but they're not slow at finding grounds to accuse a believer. The devil does. Sad to say, fellow believers can do it too. Perhaps you've experienced that. And certainly your own flesh, your own conscience. And yet the reality is, again, linking it with the first one, in Christ, there is no charge against us that will stick. This is staggering stuff, you know. We should really be regarding this as a wonder of wonders. Is it really true that there's no condemnation, there's no accusation, there's no charge can be brought against me? How about the third? 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, is there anything left, shall be able to separate us from the love of God. So there's no condemnation, no accusation, and now there's no separation. That's a pretty good triplet, a glorious triplet to my mind. And I'm speaking to myself, oh, that I enjoyed it more. That's what I said. Oh, I felt it more. We can be in the shallows and miseries, can't we, of our wretched man stuff, you know, all that. Well, okay, we can talk about that. But this is the reality of us. No condemnation, no accusation, and no separation. A glorious triplet.